Well, as Joe alluded to, we encourage the wearing of red on Reformation Sunday because we also wear red on Pentecost Sunday to represent the tongues of fire of the Holy Spirit descending on the church. And it is our belief that the Protestant Reformation was a movement of God, if you will, a rebirth of the church, and it was brought on by the movement and power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we wear red today, recognizing the Holy Spirit's presence at work in the church today. My sermon focus, while it will touch on the incredible depth of the many texts that have already been read this morning, it really will journey around the idea of the five solas of the Reformation. Now, there are those who believe that these were Luther's words, but in fact, they're not. None of the Reformation writers spoke of the five solas. Rather, in the 19th and 20th century, theologians tried to create this sort of shorthand to describe the truth of the Protestant Reformation. And so some would say that the five solas are a brief way to state the heart of the Reformation, the theology of the Reformation. But even that actually is not accurate. In fact, what it is the five ways theologians sought to demonstrate the truth of the gospel as understood in that Reformation period. Now, the gospel is at the heart of Lutheran and Protestant Reformation thinking, but to say it would be the whole thing might be a slight overstatement. Nonetheless, we're going to get into that today, these five solas. We're going to start, though, by recognizing about this gospel, the truth that is expressed in the revelation of John that we read earlier this morning. These were those words again. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim. We want to recognize that as we recognize the gospel at the heart of the Reformation, that this isn't a new gospel. It is the eternal gospel. It's the truth of the heart of God that has been communicated throughout the scripture from time immemorial and is at the heart of our understanding of theology and faith today. And it is to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. You know, I'm just going to throw this in. Luther, one of the things that he did was he translated the whole of the Bible into the common language of German in his day. Tyndale did the same thing for the English-speaking world. Marilyn heard from her Malagasy family, the family missionary families that were in Madagascar, and one of her Malagasy brothers recently died. But in the latter years of his life, he went back to Madagascar and translated the whole of the Bible into the Trindui language, a dialect of a huge group of people in Madagascar, including the first group of people that Marilyn's father was a missionary to. So this idea of bringing the scripture to God's people, of putting it in their hands, is still a massive emphasis in the life of our church. And as a matter of fact, in 2025, we're going to do a read through the Bible program again using the story. Some of you have done that before, and we're really looking forward to, as the people of God, getting back into God's word in that comprehensive way. Now, maybe I'm a little simple, but it seems to me when you use the word alone, it's kind of strange that there are five solas. It would make more sense if it was one sola. Sola meaning solitary, you know, a single thing. So I want to make sure we understand what we're talking about as we move through these five solas. And we are talking about the fact that we're saved only by grace. There's no other thing that saves us. It's only by grace. There's no way to earn it. There's no way to make it happen. We receive it by God's unmerited favor. It's through faith alone. That is, that grace becomes ours only through faith. And that faith is in Christ alone, only in Christ as the one who died to forgive our sins, and it is according to, that is, it's authorized by, our understanding of it comes only from Scripture. Scripture is the key and only authority by which we understand the grace and goodness and salvation of God. It is according to Scripture alone, and it is to the glory of God alone. No one else shares credit for this salvation that God brings. It is to God's glory alone. And so that's where we're going with those five solas. So let's start with Scripture alone. We believe that the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture, working in and through the writers, and that He speaks through Scripture. The Scripture teaches us everything that we need to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ, and to be thoroughly equipped, the Bible says, for every good work. So sola scriptura asserts that the Bible alone is the sole authoritative source for Christian faith and practice, and it rejects the traditions of the church and other church teachings that are not rooted in and based on the Scripture. That was the heart of the Reformation struggle. Sola fide, through faith alone. Without faith, Hebrews 11 tells us, it is impossible to please God. Like the empty hand of a beggar, faith reaches out to receive Christ. By faith, we believe that He who has promised is able to perform that which He has promised. So God fulfills His promises, and we put our trust in Him. Faith has no merit before God. We are justified by faith. But there's a little bit more to this faith thing. There's a problem that we have in the Western thought, and that is we have this tendency to think about believing as something that's intellectual. Listen, how many of you are familiar with the Kairos Circle? It was introduced about 14 years ago to St. Timothy's. The Kairos Circle is, there's a blue line across the top. Do you see that image? There's a blue line across the top. That blue line across the top represents chronological time. Time in minutes, years, time that is linear. And then where the circle meets that line, that's the Kairos time, a Kairos moment, like a moment when God shows up. It's like a special moment in your life that has its own meaning and movement, right? So that's a God moment. Now, as you look at that, one of the things we say is, well, when you're experiencing a God moment, you need to observe what is going on. What's happening in my life? How do I understand what's happening right now? And then we reflect on it. We think about it. Chew on it a little bit. Wonder, you know, what is God seeking to tell me? And then we discuss it. We talk about it with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And oh, by the way, especially your grow group, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a great place for you to think about, hey, God seems to be saying something to me here. We could talk about it. But I want you to notice that there's a line down the center. And to the right side of that line, it says, repent. And to the left side of that line, it says, believe. Repentance literally comes from the word metanoia, which means know again, think again, know differently. And fundamentally, it means shift your paradigm, see things God's way. And so this observation, reflection, and discussion is about understanding what God is communicating, seeing it through God's eyes. Now, when we look at our own lives through God's eyes, we are aware of our sin. And so certainly that would mean repentance is a part of turning away from that sin. But it's because we see it from the perspective of God. And that's all about repentance. But when you move to the other side of the circle, this Kairos circle, this Bible training exercise, it says that's when you do your planning and when you find someone who's going to help you be accountable and when you act. And I want you to notice that that's all on the believe side. Because belief, faith, activates. it moves. It's not just an idea in our head. It's not just a, oh yes, I believe that idea is true. It's that I embrace and abide in that truth in such a way that I live in accordance with it. That's the faith that's being talked about here. In fact, in our gospel reading this morning in John 8, it's kind of interesting because I've often misunderstood this text. Because listen to how it believes. To the Jews who had believed him. Now, wouldn't you say that's probably talking about believers? Well, there's a very key word missing here. In. These are not Jews that believed in him. These are Jews that believed him. And it's not talking about the kind of believing here that translates. Matter of fact, all the commentaries seem to agree, much to my surprise, all the commentaries seem to agree that this belief isn't quite enough. That they're sort of leaning into Jesus, but they haven't come all the way in. And so he says, if you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you hold to them. Interestingly enough, the ESV, which is a more precise translation of the Bible, uses the word, if you abide in my word, then you will really be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, our knowing isn't simply an intellectual assent. It's to grasp, understand, be embraced by that truth, and to live according to that truth. In our Western world, we have this tendency to be able to compartmentalize. Oh yeah, I believe that's true, but nothing's reflected in my life that I actually live as if I really believe that's true. We can say it, but that doesn't mean we do anything. Well, that's not the kind of faith we're talking about when we're talking about saving faith in Christ. We're talking about the power of God to transform us by helping us to understand, see, and view the world and ourselves from His grace and through His Son. Sola gratia emphasizes that it is grace is the reason for our salvation. In other words, grace comes from what God does, not from what we do. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works. So none of us can boast. Romans 3, this very, very dense text in Romans. Romans is a great theological work of Paul in the scripture. It's a wonderful book of the Bible to study, but I mean, you got to move slowly through it. There's so much in it. But let's look today at this. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced. What about freedom of speech? What's going on here? What do you mean every mouth will be silenced? We don't believe in that. What does that mean? Every mouth may be silenced. It means the understanding of the truth of God's law shuts up all of our excuses. We don't have any more defense. We simply have to acknowledge that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as it says in verse 23. It silences our excuses. It silences our protestations so that we can acknowledge we need a Savior. It goes on to say, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Let me phrase that another way. Through the law, we become conscious of our need for a Savior. And so as we read the Bible and we recognize, oh my gosh, my life doesn't measure up to that, we, instead of just feeling bad, we can say, oh, I need help. I remember when Paul at Azusa was taking a microbiology. He was not doing particularly good in the class, and I said to him, that's not a problem, it's just a time for you to acknowledge you need a tutor. right? Get someone to help you. It's not that you can't understand it. It's that you just need some help understanding it, which he did and got a nursing tutor and got an A in the class. So there you go. Moving on. Sola gratia, then, is salvation through grace alone, no merit of our own. We don't deserve it. It is given because of God's unmerited favor and love for you, for us, for the world. Sola gratia. Sola Christus, in Christ alone. Christ is the main point of the whole Bible. The whole Bible testifies to him. This is why our theology is Christ-focused over and over and always, because no one comes to the Father apart from him as he taught us. In Romans, it says it this way: all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Jesus' death on the cross redeems you and me and our world by Christ alone. The Holy Spirit seeks to glorify him for salvation. Jesus is truly God and truly man. He alone can reconcile us to God, removing all that separates us from God and creating friendship between God and ourselves. Salvation is found exclusively in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It is how God redeems fallen humanity, and it is how God brings you salvation. Soli Dei Gloria, to God alone, emphasizes that all the glory, all the credit in all aspects of life should be directed to God alone. It reflects the belief that human achievement cannot earn divine favor. We are made right with God. We are put in favor with God by grace, through faith in Jesus. To God be the glory. And so, I had someone walk up to me this morning in first service, before first service, and say, Reformation Sunday, it's a great day to be reminded of our history. And I thought, yes. It's also a great day to be reminded of our doctrine, you know, the truth of the gospel, which I hope you have been reminded of. That's fabulous. It's good. But it's not just doctrine, is it? It's the good news of God for you. This verse is, by grace you are saved through faith. It is a gift of God. Now, here's the thing about gifts. You need to be given it. How many of you have ever bought a gift for someone, like for Christmas, and then a few days after Christmas you realize, oops, I forgot to give it to them? Or, and this has happened at my house, somehow a gift, I know this is hard to believe, especially for any young person in the room, some gift gets left under the Christmas tree. It just somehow gets missed by the person who's distributing the gifts. So I just want to say to you today, I just want to say to you this Reformation Day, this gift of grace, this gift of salvation that comes through Jesus, it's for you. It's for you. Allow God's grace and love to embrace you. Allow it to redeem you so that you know you're valuable to God. You matter to him. He loves you, and he wants you to know the power of that forgiveness to propel your life forward and to give it meaning and purpose. It is a gift of God for you. Amen. Please stand.